And welcome back to the Highlighter, our halftime show here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. And we are joined today by Cedric Granger from St. Charles, and we welcome you. Although, I'm thinking he may take over this interview before it's over, because this is a broadcaster of the future as well. And Cedric, thanks for joining us here at halftime.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. It's an honor to get to be here, sir.
Now, Cedric, you are a captain on the football team, right?
Yes, sir.
So we see you out there on defense?
Yes, I'll be wearing number 6. You'll see me out there at the cornerback position, as well as multiple special teams positions.
And I understand you also play volleyball as well. Talk about that.
Yes, sir. Actually, a part of my sophomore year, we won the state championship in volleyball, and we look to do the same thing here in my senior year. Volleyball was a sport that I picked up in high school. I never thought I'd be playing until Mr. Gruber, the coach, he actually asked me to join the team as a freshman, and I've loved it ever since.
I always ask this question. Can you run the slide?
A little bit, but I'm still working on that skill.
Talking with Cedric Granger here, and, you know, we talk about athletics, and that's very important, but it's just part of a well-rounded education here at St. Charles. You're involved with a lot of other activities.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So my favorite contribution that I've gotten to do here at St. Charles so far is getting to be the president of My Brother's Keeper. This is a program that aims to cultivate racial diversity within the school. So what we do is we have different themes and different discussions throughout every year to help mentor the young men from CCA, Columbus Collegiate Academy, into becoming better men. So what we've talked about in the past is, what is my story, who am I, and what it means to be a man. Especially last year was my favorite topic of what it means to be a man, because it coincided with a lot of the books that I've read in AP English that all cultivated around manhood. So what we did, we made a man box, so we listed all the stereotypes of what men are and what the students perceived men to be. And we tried to break some of those stereotypes that were harmful to create a more wide variety of what a man can be in this society in 2019.
Is man better today than he was 50 years ago?
Well, I feel like it's not necessarily something that's comparable. It's not like something that is better or worse. It's more about the times are changing, and what that means is that the man has to change. What an ideal man in the 1950s is a lot different from what an ideal man in the 2019, 2020 is.
We're talking with Cedric Granger here at halftime on the Highlighter. You're also a student MC, so again, you're getting ready to take over my job, but in layman's terms, what is a student MC?
The first time I ever got to do some MC work was with MBK. We have a Black History and Culture Series event every single year, and I have a passion for public speaking. I want to be a broadcaster one day. I always practice on my Snapchat, my Instagram, me commentating college football games. So I want to look for opportunities where I could practice this public speaking skill. So first, my advisor, Mr. Warner, he actually allowed me to do the MC work for an event called the Black History and Culture event with Aaron Deal. So I took that opportunity and I was like, oh, okay, this is a great chance. So I did it, gave it my best shot. And then Mr. Lauer ended up asking me to do other MC work with the school after being impressed with what I did on that night. So for the following year, I got to MC the Wes Moore event, which was great because I actually read one of his books, The Other Wes Moore, as a kid. And it was great getting to actually meet the author in real life. And then I got to do again the Black History and Culture Series event for my junior year as well. And then after that, I also got to do this freshman welcome event as an MC. And I look forward to getting to do the Tim Tebow welcome event later this year.
Let's talk about the Tim Tebow event now, too. When does that take place?
That'll take place on September 3rd, according to Mr. Lauer. It's going to be great. I love Tim Tebow. He has been a great leader, a great Christian leader, and it's somebody you look up to as an athlete. In 2012, I was just a third grader, and getting to see Tim Tebow, who's out there being a Christian, being a strong Christian leader who wears his faith right on his chest every single game, every single day. It's just an honor to get to meet a man like that, of such strong faith, and just also just such a great athlete as well, with so much heart and so much determination.
You kind of touched on it, but talk about your Catholic education. What does that mean to you here at St. Charles?
All right, so I came into this school. I am a Baptist Christian. I go to New Salem Missionary Baptist Church. And going to a Catholic school, I didn't really know what to expect at first, but it's been a blessing because I've gotten to grow in my faith in many different ways. I've learned an extensive amount of history in the church, and I've also learned a little bit about just Christianity as a whole, and I've just became better able to understand my faith a lot, which has kind of been the main key, because throughout my freshman year, my sophomore year, I feel like my faith has developed a lot, because I kind of used to just be one of those kids who just go to church. Oh yeah, that's the right thing to do. I go to church on Sundays, follow my family. I've really kind of grown and have that love for church, because when you're with your brothers here at this school, everybody's grinding. It's a tough school. school. There's going to be lots of tough classes. There's going to be lots of tough moments. But being able to go and have Mass with your friends and your family, it just feels great to be able to do that. And you feel like you can accomplish anything, no matter what, even if it's a tough football game, whether it's something that's really piling up on you when you got a lot of work to do. It just feels like God is bigger than any problem that you're going to have, any mistake that you have. And that brotherhood just really just helped to grow my faith as well here.
Folks, I don't know what you think, but I think it's time for me to retire right now. I think Cedric is ready to take over. Cedric Granger, thanks for your time here at Halftime.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, sir.
Now, repeat after me. This is the CCL Game of the Week.
This is the CCL Game of the Week.
On St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
On St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. There we go.
Looking for a Ford Explorer or Jeep? Bob Boyd Lancaster is your one-stop shop. It's the only place in Central Ohio where you can test drive both and compare side-by-side, where they go head-to-head to get you the best deal.
So make it easy. One place, five brands. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Hi, I'm Mike Wettrich, president of Education First Credit Union. Since 1936, Education First has proudly served Ohio's education community. We're a not-for-profit, member-owned financial cooperative committed to serving the financial best interests of our members. If you are already a member, thank you for choosing us. If not, I invite you to come in and experience the credit union difference. You can count on us to always put your financial best interest first. Please visit us at any one of our three Central Ohio locations or online at edecu.org.
Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by the NCUA.
We at Solazzo Marble and Granite cheer on our Catholic high school teams. We are Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selections in the area. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 50-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. Online at solazzomarble.com.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value the car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus can help you get to a better state. Because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help put together a policy that has you written all over it. From cost to coverage, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus and officially get to a better state with State Farm.
Looking for an F-150 or Ram truck? Bob Boyd Lancaster is your one-stop shop. It's the only place in Central Ohio where you can test drive both and compare side-by-side, where they go head-to-head to get you the best deal.
So make it easy. One place, five brands. It's the Bob Boyd way.
I'm not sure anybody saw that. St. Charles leading Dublin Scioto at the half in our CCL football game of the week. Hello, everybody. It is Ryan Baker here in the studios of AM 820. And glad to welcome back my partner, the guru, Lee Cochran. Lee, sixth season we've been doing this together. That's pretty crazy.
That really is, and it kind of seems like we just started here a year ago. This has been a great time. I'm glad for a sixth season, and hopefully you got a little sixth sense.
Yeah, I hope so. Probably not. Maybe more like no sense, but maybe I picked up a couple over the years. We were talking about this. This is the 11th year St. Gabriel Catholic Radio has covered Central Catholic League football. This is my 10th season doing it, and this is the 6th year of the Scoreboard Show. Like you said, time flies. When I was talking to my dad the other day and told him this is my 10th season, like you said, it seems like we just started this yesterday. Let's go ahead real quick and tell you what's going on for the area Catholic teams here before we get to anything else. Four of the area Catholic teams starting tonight, of course, St. Charles, 21-0. They lead Dublin Scioto. Now, Lee, I knew this game was going to be closer this year than at that 56-7 last year. We saw St. Charles make a lot of strides under D. Coker last year as they got to that 4-6 record. They had a whole offseason under Coach Hoker, so they could learn. They already were familiar, so they weren't behind the eight ball with all of that. And Dublin Scioto lost a ton from last year, losing Kenyon Pinnell, Kyron Rogers, Tobias Thomas transferring down to Florida. Then you throw in Chad Ray and Pete Herlicker out in this one due to injury. But still, 21-0, the Cardinals. Nobody saw that one.
Well, no, I don't think so. But what you got to look at is, you know, we talk to coaches and say the biggest improvement you make is between week one and week two. In a case like St. Charles, the biggest improvement they can make is between season one and season two. They get that full season under Coach Hoker. They get a second off season with him. And then you look at, you know, hey, it was 56-0 last year. And I don't care if all the teams change. You look at that and you say there's a little bit of overconfidence on one end, and then you've got a little bit of determination on the other end. And then you get the perfect storm, a punt, and the punter took a knee, you know, caught the ball with his knee down, next play, 25 yards. I mean, St. Charles couldn't have scripted this start any better. The thing that's impressed me, though, is St. Charles's defense. You know, I mean, they're shooting gaps, they're stopping the pass. I mean, they've played a tremendous game defensively.
The one thing that you did hear Larry and Randy talk about in this game was how Dublin Sciota isn't extremely big in the trenches. Well, the one thing you can say about St. Charles, they are huge, especially on the offensive side of the ball, and maybe that's helping them a lot here up front, getting that push, and maybe even getting penetration on a quarterback for Dublin Sciota, who's not really sure being in there for the first time.
And not only you look at that, I mean, as they're getting that penetration, you know what else they're getting? They're getting confidence. Now it's you know, you go into games thinking you can win, but we've all played. And there's some games you come in thinking, I hope we can win. I don't know what St. Charles' mindset was. I'm sure they thought they really believed they could win. But those first two series, they showed Dublin Sciota that, hey, this ain't last year. This isn't going to be 56. Well, it could be, I guess, 56-0, but on the opposite way.
What a shot in the arm this would be for Coach Hoker to start his second season over at the corner of Broad and Nelson. Hartley had a big game tonight taking on Timber Creek out of New Jersey. In this one, I think Lee has lived up to the hype so far. They are tied 13-13 at the half. Timber Creek actually taking advantage of a Hartley turnover, something we see Hartley have done a lot over the years. Miles Fleming throws an interception. Timber Creek turns that into that first score. Jalen Janney, though, picking up right where he left off last year, two touchdowns already for the Hawks.
Yeah, and there's a lot of expectations for Hartley. There is every year. But I think it's a little bit higher this year than the last couple years. I mean, they've got, what, 18 kids back who had starts? I mean, that's, they're just loaded everywhere you look. You know, and when I walk my dogs in the morning, every once in a while I see Coach Burchfield's dad. We talk football, and he just smiles. And I bring up how good's Hartley going to be. He just smiles. He goes, we're not allowed saying. He goes, but I think they can be good.
They look impressive out there on the field for sure, physically. And throw in only three road games this year for Hartley. Everything looking good for them in the 2019 season. Another team early on here it's looking good for is Watterson. They, of course, three straight wins to end the season. And last year, picking up a little momentum, they have a 17-3 lead over Lancaster, one that may shock some people considering the momentum Lancaster's had recently and Watterson's been down. But I don't think if you really saw these teams in this offseason that you would think that. But Watterson playing well here to start the season.
Well, you remember there a few years ago, we talked to Grandview coach Jason Peters, and they had a sub-500 year. And they won their last couple games, and then the next year they had that run to make the playoffs. He said it was amazing what those couple wins at the end of the season did for the off-season program. He said everybody was fired up. Watterson's got a little bit of that. And that's one on our this week's Sports.com predictions panel. You and I were two of what? Three people, I think. Three, maybe four, who picked Watterson to win this game. You know, I guess we're not chalking that one up yet. But, boy, I tell you what, Watterson looks like they could be pretty good this year.
And one thing with Watterson, especially last year for them, you've got to remember this is a school who the past couple years has not had a JV or a freshman team, vice versa. The kids that were juniors last year that Watterson needed to rely on a lot, They didn't play the year before because they didn't have a junior varsity team. So last year was really their first experience playing under the lights. And as they went along, they're taking that experience from last year and rolling that momentum right into this season.
Well, and that's what we talked about, is that they were probably a year away because of that. I mean, their numbers were as low as they've ever been at Waterson. But now, you know, they're right back there. And, you know, again, you look at what you get, a little bit of confidence, and you start building off that. And, you know, that's one of the things that's great about high school football. Every year's different. Now, we know that Pickerington Central is going to be good. We know that Dublin Coffman's going to be good. We know more than likely Hilliard Davidson's going to be good. It's those teams who, you know, what do we expect out of Reynoldsburg this year? They had the best season in school history last year. You know, and, you know, Chris just told us that, Reynoldsburg had an incomplete pass all game. You know, can Buddy White build off that? You know, you look at some of these other teams. Bradley's been in the playoffs the last 4 years. They're struggling this year. You know, there's some of those teams, you know, you just don't know where they're going to go. And that's what makes this so exciting, especially the opening week. We're listening to some of these scores. We're going, holy cow, listen to that. Can you believe that? You know, I think Bradley's down 21-0. Nobody expected that. I don't care how many kids are replacing. You're not expecting that. I know Springfield's one of the two best teams in the Dayton area poll, them and Clayton Northmont. But, you know, that's why you just kind of get fired up this week. You know, I know that there was a game last night. You know, what a game. I mean, my goodness, it lasted longer than the NFL game. But, you know, it kicked off last night, but today is the opening night of football. I don't care what you say. Tonight's the opening night. I've been fired up all day for it, just trying to get through work so I could get down here.
Another one that you really weren't sure what you were going to get, Joel Cutler returning to Reedy, and they have a 3-0 lead early in the second half over Genoa, one that might be a little surprised. The Comets beat the Silver Knights last year 28-0. Lee, the impressive stat in this one, Reedy held the ball the whole first quarter in this one. Early in the second quarter, they kicked that field goal 30-yarder from A.J. Craddock for that 3-0 lead. That's Hilliard Davidson-esque, though, holding the ball for a whole quarter.
That probably is a whole lot of Jack Foley, too, you know, if you're holding the ball. But that's not breaking the big run. Those, you know, you bring up Davidson. We've talked to Brian White about that. Those are the ones that break your back. It's not getting the 50-yard run. It's getting 3 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, 2 yards, 6 yards. The ones that are just demoralizing the defense, and that's what Reedy did. And, yeah, it's kind of weird that they ended up with a field goal after having the ball for 12 minutes of the first quarter. But, you know, it's still points, and it's still and what that does for Genoa Era is limits them on offense. I mean, they know they have to do something on offense, because last thing you want to do is give the ball back and have Reedy eat up another quarter.
And when you're Reedy and you have the ball, that means 250-pound running back Daniel Novotny for Genoa Area does not have it. That definitely bodes well for your defense. The other three Catholic teams in the area, they will take to the field tomorrow. DeSales will be at Huber Heights Wayne High School, taking on Dayton Carroll in the backyard blitz. Newark Catholic will be at Ohio Northern University, taking on Eden. And Fisher Catholic is on the road at Tuscarora Central Catholic. You mentioned the game last night, Lee. 21-20. Grandview continues their dominance over Centennial, but it just goes to show you Centennial is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the City League. However, they may have a big injury on their hands.
Yeah, Jada Gilbert. He had an arm injury. I've heard it was an elbow. You know, you hate seeing it, obviously, but it's, and, you know, the cliche is it's part of the game. We'll see how they do. But I was a little bit, like I say, it was such a long game. I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want these games to end, but, you know, when it gets to be 10:45, this game started at 7, you're like, all right, fellas, let's wrap her up.
You got stuff to do on Friday.
I got to work.
Another game has gone final already tonight. Pickerington Central, they were down in Georgia, taking on Winter Park, Florida. They were trailing at the half, but the Tigers come back and get the win, 34-21. Pretty much old hat for Jay Sheridan and the gang.
Yeah, and I guess we can take Coach Sheridan at his word. He told us once, I'll play anybody, anywhere. So I guess he'll go to Georgia to play. But he loves those trips because it helps the team bond. Now, they're a very tight team already. You know, but it does give them a chance to just be with themselves. It's not like a home game where everybody goes home after school, hangs out for a couple hours, heads to the field. I mean, they go down there. They've been down there a couple days. It's just a good way to bond as a team. They've done that last year. I think, you know, they've gone to Detroit. They've gone, you know, to Toledo. They've gone places, and he likes doing that for that reason.
Three of their five non-conference games this year against out-of-state opponents. Then you throw Hilliard-Davidson on the schedule.
Yeah, they go to Columbus East, Indiana next week.
Yeah, they've got two Indiana teams on the schedule the next 2 weeks. The other big story here unfolding out of week one, the game of the week maybe in the area, Olentangy Liberty taking on Pickerington North. However, that's not even the story, the game right now. The story is Pickerington North quarterback Gio Thomas, supposed to be their quarterback, a transfer in from Canal Winchester, did not end up enrolling in school. We have heard he was facing a possible missing the last five games in playoffs of the season due to the OHSAA transfer rules. He is supposedly not enrolled. He is not at the game. Dom Myers is quarterbacking for Pickerington North. They are tied with Olentangy Liberty at 7.
Yeah, and you know, High School changed the rules a couple years ago. It was that you sat out the first five games, and you could play the back five and the postseason. They throw this out there. Now, the question I have is, don't you figure this out before this point? Now, from what I'm hearing is, after the last scrimmage, Gio and his family weren't too confident that he was going to be able to be eligible the entire season, and I guess they're down in Florida.
Really? Interesting.
Thank you.
So,
I'm just breaking news here for you, Ryan.
It's just a crazy development, though, that this happens. And Gio Thomas is a great player. He's a good quarterback. He was going to be a key piece for Pickerington North this year.
But he threw for 2,000 yards last year. And not only that, we had a big picture of him in our Friday Night Live high school football preview guide.
So something maybe we'll have more for on the scoreboard show later tonight. We've only got about a minute left here, so let's run through some of the scores. Westerville Central is hammering Whitehall 43-6. Dublin Kaufman has a 14-0 lead in a game that kind of has a playoff feel over Clayton Northmont. Reynoldsburg leads Upper Arlington 13-0. Olentangy Orange 16-0 over Kilbourne. Westerville South, some people might be a little shocked at this, maybe not us, Lee, 27-14. They lead New Albany here in this one tonight at the half.
I don't know. I think I'm a little bit surprised by that one. This is New Albany's first game as a Division I team, and Westerville South's Division II. But I find that a little bit interesting.
You mentioned Bradley. They trail Springfield now 27-0. Eastmore leads Harvest Prep 7-6. Cincinnati, Wyoming over Columbus Academy 21-6. And Hilliard Darby has a 10-0 lead over Olentangy. Also, Cincinnati Edler 21-6 over Gahanna. Don't forget the AM 820 scoreboard show after the game. Lee and I will be back with all the scores. We'll talk to the coaches. Year number 6 of the scoreboard show. We'll head back out to Dublin Scioto for the second half of our CCL football game. After this, we'll join Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf, see if St. Charles can hang on to that lead.